Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another segment of the Triple E's, Education, Empowerment, Entrepreneurship. This is part two of a four-part segment highlighting the shining stars of the Capital District. Today's guest or slash shining star is the 518's very own, born and raised in Schenectady, New York, Dr. Carter Brooks. She's an assistant professor at the George Washington School of Medicine, specializing in women's health. Please go to my Facebook page, H. Bosch Jr., for Dr. Carter Brooks' complete and impressive bio. So before I start, let me say, give you a great big old overcoming adversity specialist. Welcome to the show, Doc.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. It's nice to connect with Upstate, of course.
Yes. And we appreciate you so much. And shout out to mom, okay? Mr. or Mrs. Pam Carter and dad. I see apples don't fall far from the tree.
Yes.
Okay, so my first question is a two-part question. Why did you pursue a career in medicine? And how did you choose MD versus nurse or NP / PA, dentist, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if you don't mind, Mr. Bosch, I just want to take a few seconds to give people a better idea of what I do. So I am a physician in Washington, D.C. at George Washington University, and I do specialize in women's health care. I actually see women, most of them have, you know, gone through menopause, so not reproducing anymore, and have issues with their bladder. They can't control their bladder leakage, or other problems kind of arising from childbirth that can come on later in life. And so I'm a very kind of specific area of women's health care. And actually about one in four women so will have a problem with their pelvic floor or their bladder and need to come see a doctor like me. So it's something that most people haven't heard of. It's the field of urogynecology, but I treat conditions that are very, very common. And so I was not initially interested in urogynecology, but I remember actually doing an internship with my mother with the Department of Women and Children for New York State. Okay. And I actually got to learn a lot about public health that affect women and children in New York State, how there's less screenings for cancer, how children aren't getting the resources they needed. And that kind of made me interested in women's health. And then just kind of being involved with science kind of drove me to medicine. Like, how can I help people in a way that's constructive and using my mind? And that really is what led me to medicine, kind of merging the two things together. And so, you know, what I would say to people out there listening is I didn't know the difference at the time between like a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, a physician, MD. There's also a DO, which is a different type of school. I knew that I didn't want to be in people's mouth or their feet. So I kind of
I don't blame you.
Medicine, but you know,
doctor to figure that out.
right. Each their own. You know, if that's what you want to do, I'm not going to hate. So, yeah,
especially some of our feet. Goodness gracious.
Yes. People's feet need love, so it's not me doing it.
Okay.
But what I would tell people is to just explore more to kind of get a feel ahead of time. But that's kind of what drove me to do women's healthcare medicine.
Okay. So, what was your biggest challenge getting to med school, and what about after med school getting to where you are now to be such an accomplished doctor?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was very fortunate to come from a very loving and supportive family. I know everyone doesn't have that. And so that took away a lot of the personal challenges that people can have getting into medical school. I think for me, and a lot of women face this, and a lot of African-American women is feeling like we don't belong in spaces that are not predominantly African-American. And so, you know, kind of overcoming that feeling of not belonging, or maybe I shouldn't be here, is a really big challenge. And it's something that, you know, I work on every day, basically. But, you know, because of my family and the support I had from them, I knew that I did belong. But kind of overcoming your own personal challenges and adversity, I think, is harder in some ways.
So what attributes and experiences have you allowed have allowed you to become so successful in life?
I would say, you know, I work hard. Work hard to play hard. Anybody who knows my father out there, they know that he is a particularly hardworking man. And I think he instilled that work ethic in my brother and I. We'll hear from him at some point. But knowing, you know, just working hard, being dedicated and persevering, even in the face of adversity. And that's something that you really just have to have inside of you, I think. But also being personable and being relatable to people. I get people all the time who've had bad experiences with doctors, right? But it's important that you're, you know, humble and that you have empathy and can relate. And I think those are also attributes that have helped me be so successful today.
Great. Who is your greatest inspiration?
You know, I have a lot of strong, brilliant women in my family who have definitely been an inspiration for me, who, you know, even with having children at young ages, were able to still have a very fulfilling life, have a career for themselves, be independent, and are out there living their best lives. And so, you know, I would say my mother, my grandmothers, my aunts, I have so many cousins, so many people that inspire me and my family every single day. And I just think about them and what they sacrificed so that I can be where I am today. And that inspires me to keep going. I have two kids myself. I just had a little baby girl who's 2 months, and I have a son who'll be 2 in January. And I look at them and I want this world to be a better place for them. And that's what pushes me, you know, that we're still kind of continuing to fight things that my parents fought and my grandparents fought to this day. You know, I would say, honestly, those two are probably my biggest inspiration at this point in my life.
What is your greatest accomplishment? And I'm sure you have so many.
I have a medical student that I've been working with who is, she's actually from New York, but downstate, who's brilliant. And I really have been able to help her, you know, with her research and get a bunch of interviews for residency. And so seeing her succeed, seeing her being able to move forward and achieve the things that she's set out to achieve recently has been, you know, one of my biggest accomplishments. It's something that I'm proud is that I can give back to the next generations.
Great. So what's it like being a Black woman in medicine?
You know, it's hard. It's like being a Black woman in the world, I think.
Right.
It's, you know, it's present in every aspect of our lives. I think right now, the nice thing is people are talking about race. They're talking about inclusion. You know, the conversation is being had, maybe not in the depth that we need it to happen. You know, I feel compelled to continue that conversation, to continue that tough dialogue, even though I don't want to talk about it all the time, but that's the only way change is going to happen. And then to push forward for those actions to come. So actually right now, I'm very hopeful, being a Black woman in medicine, that it's going to change, that there will be more of me. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like, as you step up, you got to reach down and pull somebody up with you. It's true. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I think that that is what keeps me focused and makes it easier. But it's hard. But we, you know.
What are some words of wisdom would you give the youth today?
Yeah.
You know, someone looking at you to say, wow, how do I get there? You know, and they're confused. What would you say to, you know, the young lady or the young man?
Yeah, I would say it's okay not to know and it's okay to be confused. But if you know, you have a certain idea, you know, something that's really important is finding a mentor and even a sponsor, we say, people that can help you get to where you want to go and help you figure out that path. And they can be all around you. Don't be afraid to reach out. Even someone you don't know, send an email to a number, call, be aggressive. You know, they hang up, call back. They don't respond, call back, text back, email back. You need to have those connections in your life in order to move forward. I've had so many people along the way there for me, help me, people I turn to now, and that connection, those connections are really important in getting you to the next steps in your life. The other thing is keep telling yourself, yes, I can, yes, I can, yes, I can. I belong, I belong, I belong, almost like a mantra over and over again. It's true. It's true, even though you might feel like it's not true, but the more you say it, you're going to believe that. And so having the confidence to move forward and having a group of people that you can count on to help you get to the next step.
Dr. Carter, I want to say I appreciate what you have done. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate what you will continue to do. All right. Continue to do big, big things and keep making those boss moves, boss lady. All right.
Thank you. We are
so proud of you, and happy holidays to you and your family.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Please remember, I want you to dance like there's no one watching, love like you've never been hurt, and sing like there's no one listening. And you better live like it's heaven on earth. Until next time, don't hear about making a difference. You need to be about making a difference. This is Miss Inez Bosch's baby boy, H. Bosch Jr., your overcoming adversity specialist, doing what I'm made to believe. Doc, I appreciate you. Wow. Thank you.